live from WNUR News. I'm Zach McCrary. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Monday, May 16th. Tonight on WNUR News, a Chicago protest on the coming Supreme Court abortion decision, Bad Bunny's record-breaking summer album, and spring allergies. They're here and they're clogging our nostrils. Those stories coming up tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for tuning in to the WNUR News at 6. Our top story tonight. Over 1,000 people in the Chicago area protested last Saturday after a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion was released. The opinion indicates the court will overturn Roe v. Wade, leading many states to ban abortion. The vice president of NU Feminists, who attended the protest, a Feinberg professor of medicine, and the executive producer of Shape, share their perspectives on what a future without Roe v. Wade would look like. Justine Fisher has the story.
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
Over 1,000 people rallied in Chicago on Saturday, May 14th, in support of abortion rights. This comes in reaction to a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion. The opinion suggests the Supreme Court will strike down Roe v. Wade, which would mean more than half of U.S. states could ban abortion.
Rise up for abortion! Rise for abortion! Rise!
Feinberg sophomore Andy Tipton is the vice president of NU Feminists. She and about 15 other Northwestern students marched in the protest.
I was really disheartened when I heard about the news, but going to the protest made me feel like I could, like, be capable of creating change and not just, like, you know, have to accept it.
Tipton said a lot of students looked to NU Feminists for what to do next when the leaked draft came out.
People always say that you can't ban abortions, you can only ban legal abortions, so women would be putting themselves in danger.
Dr. Tara Legault is a professor of medicine and the director for the Center of Health Services and Outcomes Research at the Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Legault says the health implications of overturning Roe could go even further beyond just deaths from a legal abortion.
Limitations on abortion will ripple throughout the health system.
Dr. Legault said the overturning of Roe v. Wade will break down trust between doctors and patients.
We should all be thinking about this and we should all be worried about it because we're going to be put in these terrible situations where we don't know how to provide care.
She mentions the implications of a fetal personhood law if a pregnant woman has to be treated for cancer.
You would have to equally weigh the life of the 16-week fetus and the mother. Meaning, would you use therapies that would potentially result in miscarriage, even if it was going to save the life of the mother? The decision to provide chemotherapy now is really a decision between the patient and the doctor. With these laws in place, it's going to take that decision out of the hands of the patient and the doctor and put it in the hands of the state.
She also brings up the example of a fetus with trisomy 18, where the baby would likely only live 10 to 14 days. Yet under Texas law, the mother would have to carry the baby to term.
Putting women through a tragedy that is so unbearable that many would never really recover from the trauma. And yet someone far away is making a law about that decision.
Dr. Legault said she fears doctors will in some cases not share ultrasound results to make it less likely that women will get abortions. She also said women may put themselves at risk to obtain abortions without legal consequence.
I anticipate that women in that situation will try to delay care until the pregnancy has been terminated, which is another way that deaths will result.
Dr. Legault also worries about physicians being put in situations where decisions in real time are prosecuted later.
I think we're going to see colleagues who don't work in women's health facing consequences that they never anticipated. I think that if you're a critical care doctor and you save the life of the mother, but there's a miscarriage, could you be prosecuted? If you're an oncologist and you give chemotherapy to a patient and they lose the pregnancy, is it your fault?
Once abortion is illegal, Dr. Legault says, many assisted reproductive technologies could also become illegal, like in vitro fertilization.
For people in states who realize that they are now, somehow their ability to actually have children is reduced because they are unable to use reproductive technologies. Because if that embryo is a person, you can't make 10 embryos with the hope that you'll implant one.
Ultimately, Dr. Legault said she doesn't believe laws should regulate these kinds of complex and personal decisions.
Getting into the room with doctor and patient does not make any sense unless you are the patient or the doctor. The legislation is actually stepping on our toes and preventing us from doing our jobs in the way we've always done them. And that's really going to be the sort of shocking moment for healthcare delivery in the United States, is when we find that we can no longer put our patient first because the fetus gets equal consideration.
Medill Jr. London Mason is the executive director of SHAPE, which is the Northwestern Organization for Sexual Health and Assault Peer Educators. Mason found out about the leaked draft when a friend texted her.
I just kind of had a pit in my stomach.
The opinion confirmed the worries about the future of reproductive rights, Mason said that she had had when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed.
It's really devastating and really heartbreaking and just kind of exhausting, honestly, that people's rights, including my own, are always not only being debated, but actually like being decided that, you know, that they don't really matter.
Mason is from Ohio, a state that is likely to ban abortion if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Mason said that back home, she had been the support person for a friend who was harassed by protesters when seeking an abortion.
But I know it felt like a absolutely life-saving decision for her to be able to, you know, move forward with the life and the goals that she wanted. And yeah, I can't imagine if she didn't have that choice.
Mason said SHAPE is shifting their goals, working to get even more resources out to support people in need of reproductive care.
It's definitely something that, you know, has been on our hearts lately.
Mason said she wants everyone to have access to information through SHAPE and CARE, Northwestern Center for Awareness, Response, and Education. Mason said she encourages anyone to reach out to CARE's Office for Special Health Consultations, and to also reach out to anyone in SHAPE for help with transportation or funding if they are seeking reproductive care. From Evanston, Illinois, Justine Fisher, WNUR News.
In A&E tonight, Bad Bunny's newest album was released last Friday, and it is already breaking records. Here's A&E reporter Maria Camaño with the story from last week.
Bad Bunny's new album is finally here, and people have lots to say about it. Released this Friday, May 6th, the artist's fifth album, Un Verano Sin Ti, in English, A Summer Without You, is the most awaited release for the summer. It consists of 23 tracks, including collaborations with Chencho Corleone, Jay Cortez, Tony Dice, Rauw Alejandro, Bomba Estéreo, The Marías, and Buscabulla. The artist first started teasing the album in January of this year, and on Monday, May 2nd, he finally announced that the album would come out that Friday. Upon its release, it became Spotify's most streamed album in a single day in 2022 so far, and broke the record for the most streamed artist in a single day in Spotify history. WNUR News' own co-director Nick Song was not expecting the release, but knew he had to listen once he found out about it.
So I didn't actually know that Bad Bunny had like a new album going coming out. I think that's just mainly because of me not being up to date on music stuff. But like when I knew that he had new music out, like I was like, okay, let me press pause in my life, you know. And just I love reggaeton. Like, it's like one of my, I do not look the part, but like it's straight up just so great. And I don't know, I think it's so fun to listen to. Not only that, but it's also just like, it's such like an original genre of music, and you can do so much with it.
Medill Jr. Josh Perry says this might be his favorite Bad Bunny album yet.
I like it a lot. I actually am. It might be my favorite album of his so far. They've all got this kind of like really like comforting, like beachy vibes. He samples seagulls on like a bunch of them, which is like great. Like, I'm a huge fan.
And Suspy Jr. Brian Sanchez says this was the perfect album for the summer.
After like I finished listening through, I was like, wow, like this is exactly like the type of like quality I expected. But I was also like, he definitely knew what he was doing releasing this right before the summer started. Like, I felt like there was a lot of obviously, like, you know, it's a summertime album, but like the variety of songs that he had in there, like there was a lot of like very like slow kind of like feely songs, but then a lot of songs that were also like very much so for dancing. There's a merengue in there, then there's like a a really big club song. I forget which one it's called. I think El Apagón or something. And those are really good. And they even put Callaita in there too, which is like an older song, but like still in the album, because I'm sure it just relates really well to like the vibes of the album. So yeah, I just thought super diverse album. All of the songs were great in their own respect. I think it's definitely a no-skip album personally.
The album does a great job of alternating between different genres like electropop, indie, dembow, merengue, bossa nova, and many more.
There's just like so much variety on here, like an hour and 20 minutes, and like pretty much no song follows like the same like formula, it feels like.
Sanchez says he liked that the collaborations included artists that were not as well known.
It's like, I feel like a lot of other albums nowadays have like kind of like been in collaboration, or like I've featured a lot of artists that like we already know about. It's not like, you know, people that like are a little bit lower, like underground, or like people who are just trying to like get out there a little bit more. And I think Bad Bunny did a good job, you know, bringing out like a featuring artist that like you may be interested in that you don't already know about. Like an album I think about that like has so many features, but like they're features that I all know about that I listened to already, is like Daddy Yankee's album. Like really like, and like in respect, also a really good album for me, like almost a no skip album. That was a really good one too, but like a lot of the features are people I already knew, you know, like Ozuna, Mike Towers, Nicky Jam, J Balvin, Bad Bunny. Like they're all people I know about. So it's not like I'm stemming off of this album and like reaching new potential sources of music.
I also asked all three of them what their favorite song on the album was.
Después de la Playa.
Después de la Playa. I think I really like that it's a merengue song. Like, I don't know. I feel like there hasn't been like a lot of like artists that are releasing merengue right now. And that's a really good one that I think, like, you know, once you start like going out and like partying in the summer and going to clubs, you're going to hear that one a lot for sure.
The reason I love it so much starts out with these synths. It's just like, you know, you're grooving out, you're feeling it. You're like, okay, I can go with that. Dime pa donde vamos después de la playa. Si no se camó, yo traigo la toalla y de nuevo nos vamos. Pero en mi cama. And then it, bam, like it just hits.
The beat switches and you hear the merengue. I sat there, I was like, whoa. I was like, is this a merengue? And I like sat there and I'm like, oh my god, it is. Like, no way, he just did that.
And you're just like, oh my god, I'm like on the beach, like, you know, there's a beach ball hitting my head right now. I'm like feeling life. And you're just like, you know, you just hear like the snares and stuff kick in, and it's just so awesome. It's like, you know, the engineering on it is so crisp and wonderful, and just the beat of it is so hard and goes off so much.
It's that type of song that gets you moving in some way. Like, every time it comes up for me, whenever I'm just listening to music or whenever I put it on, I'm just like, even if I'm not like up dancing merengue, obviously, like I'm still like, you know, like bobbing my head, like, you know, tapping my feet, because just like it's that type of beat that just like gets you to want to get up and do something.
There's a few that have like caught my eye, really caught my ear, I guess. I really like Otro Atardecer with the Marías. Because it's like so not what I would expect from Bad Bunny. It's like kind of just an indie pop song with like a really weird vibe. And it's kind of like a refreshing like switch up for him.
I also really like Un Verano Sin Ti. I think it was definitely it gave me kind of like La Canción vibes, which I really loved. So I felt like that was definitely one you could just like sit down and really like feel yourself listening to and like mouthing all the lyrics. Y ahora toca un verano sin ti. Lo estoy
pasando bien, no te voy a mentir. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the new album, Sanchez says the variety of sound means there's something for everyone.
For anyone who hasn't listened to the album yet, I think it's definitely an incredibly solid listen. Like, it might not be a no skip for everyone. I think I'm definitely a much bigger fan of Bad Bunny than other people are, and like it was a no skip for me very easily, just given like the quality of the songs and the diversity. But I think it's got a song for everyone. And even if you don't speak Spanish or you don't understand it very well, or you don't listen to like reggaeton in general, I still think there's like gonna be a song that you listen to and be like, oh wow, I actually kind of like that. It's pretty good. You know, like I'll add that to my playlist. Like, I'll listen to it like later on.
For WNUR News, this was Maria Camaño.
And in Evanston, the sun is finally out. But that means for some people, it's the season of the sniffles. Delaney Nelson has more on why some of us get spring allergies.
In Evanston, spring came late this year. Like 7 weeks into the quarter late. After what felt like years of freezing temperatures and only a single sunny day in the entire month of April, warm weather has finally arrived. And with it, you guessed it, allergies. For many people, spring allergies can be a menace, causing runny nose, itchy eyes, and lots of sneezing. But what causes spring allergies, and why do some people have them when others don't? Stick around and I'll explain all there is to know. One of the best parts about the springtime is seeing plants bloom. It's a fresh start. New life is welcomed onto the earth, and colorful leaves, flowers, and bushes replace the bare trees and gray skies of winter. Spring might be beautiful, but there are scientific processes at play that reveal the truth behind our sneezing. For many plant species, spring provides the conditions they need to grow, including warmer temperatures, showery weather, and longer days. As they say, April showers bring May flowers. During this growing season, grasses, trees, and flowers all produce pollen as part of their reproduction processes. Pollen can get from one plant to another by way of wind, water, birds, insects, butterflies, or other animals. Especially on days with high pollen counts, there's a whole lot of pollen in the air as part of the pollination process. But sometimes, instead of making it to the next plant, it finds its way to your nose and mouth. Here's where the allergies start. What exactly is an allergy, though? According to the Mayo Clinic, an allergy happens when your immune system reacts to a foreign substance. That substance is known as an allergen. It can be a certain food or medicine, or maybe pet dander or bee venom. When we're talking about springtime allergies, the substance in question is pollen. So, why does that very essential and important substance of the ecosystem that allows plants to reproduce make me sneeze? Allergies are an immune system response. Your body produces substances called antibodies that recognize and respond to foreign substances. With springtime allergies, your body identifies pollen as an intruder and reacts accordingly. Namely, your body produces histamines. The result? An immune reaction that is trying to protect you from said foreign substance, but instead, it gives you a runny nose and itchy eyes. Now, you might be thinking, wait, not everybody gets spring allergies. How did I get so unlucky? The answer, or at least as much as scientists know so far, is a combination of genes and environment. The genetics part is simple. Having a parent with allergies means you're more likely to get them too. But environment can affect allergies as well. If you live somewhere where the specific pollen you're allergic to is less common, you're just less likely to experience sneezing and a runny nose. Every year, more and more people have spring allergies, especially kids. Scientists think part of the blame is on the hygiene hypothesis, which is the idea that growing up in an overly sterile environment may mess with the development of the immune system. This can make errors like mistaking pollen for a bad thing more common. So, if you're suffering from spring allergies, what can you do? The easiest solution is good old modern medicine. Some people take antihistamines like Claritin to get relief. Others take nasal decongestants or even steroids like Flonase. Personally, I swear by Zyrtec. For WNUR News, I'm Delaney Nelson.
After a week of pop culture craziness, it's time for the B-List, WNUR News' weekly pop culture roundup. Here's Allison Rauch with more.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, NBA and NHL playoffs, conversations with friends, and Kendrick Lamar's new album. In celebrity news, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker were legally married yesterday in a private ceremony in Santa Barbara, California. The pair had been engaged since October 2021. Amber Heard resumes testimony today in her defamation case with ex-husband Johnny Depp following a week-long break in proceedings. Depp's team rested their case May 3rd after 4 days of testimony. Heard began her testimony on May 4th and is likely to finish today. In TV, the BBC and Hulu's Conversations with Friends dropped yesterday to mediocre reviews. The show is based on author Sally Rooney's 2017 novel and stars Saoirse Lane, Jemima Kirk, Joe Alwyn, and newcomer Allison Oliver. critics say the plot drifts and seems aimless, with many holding it up against Normal People, a 2020 show adapted from another Rooney novel. In music, rapper Kendrick Lamar dropped his new album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, on Friday. The project is his last for label Top Dog Entertainment as he shifts business to his new media company, PG Lang. Pitchfork describes Mr. Morale as more meandering than past works, with smooth, careful production. Standout songs include We Cry Together, in which Lamar and actress Taylor Page argue in structured meter, and Anti-Diaries, in which Lamar describes a family member's experience with transitioning and meditations on the F slur. In sports, the NBA playoffs wrapped up their conference semifinals last week. The Miami Heat clinched a 4-2 series win against the Philadelphia 76ers Thursday, and the Golden State Warriors won 4-2 against the Memphis Grizzlies Friday. Two teams secured Game 7 victories yesterday, with the Dallas Mavericks beating the Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics defeating the Milwaukee Bucks. The defending champs are officially out of the running. The conference finals begin tomorrow, with the Heat and the Celtics facing off at 7:30 p.m. CST. The Mavericks and the Warriors play Wednesday at 8 p.m. CST. And the second round of the NHL playoffs begins today. With the Colorado Avalanche secured as of May 9th, the St. Louis Blues beat the Minnesota Wild on Thursday, and the Florida Panthers beat the Washington Capitals on Friday. The Carolina Hurricanes secured a 4-3 series win over the Boston Bruins on Saturday, as did the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers over the Los Angeles Kings. Both games yesterday went into overtime, with the Calgary Flames beating the Dallas Stars and the New York Rangers beating the Pittsburgh Penguins. Round 2 games begin tomorrow, with the Lightning and the Panthers facing off at 6 p.m. CST and the Blues and Avalanche playing at 8:30 p.m. CST. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch.
Here's your weather for tonight. Today hit a high of 78 degrees, and it's beautiful outside. Slightly cloudy right now, but that will clear up into the night, and we'll see minimums of low 50s tonight. Tomorrow brings cloudy skies again, with a high of 59 and a low of 53 tomorrow night. Winds are expected to be around 9 miles per hour. And here's tonight's headlines. Northwestern's COVID positivity rates have risen to 9.28%, recording 450 new positive cases out of over 4,800 tests conducted. About one half of those positive cases came from undergraduate students. Last Wednesday, the university reported that President Morton Shapiro tested positive for COVID-19. In a statement, Shapiro wrote, "I'm resting comfortably with moderate symptoms in gratitude for caring family and friends and effective vaccines." Baby formula maker Abbott announced a deal with the FDA today to resume operations at a shuttered Michigan plant. The move is an effort to curb a national baby formula shortage. The plant stopped production earlier this year following a failed FDA inspection. McDonald's announced today that they would cease operations in Russia. More than 800 restaurants will be sold to a Russian buyer and no longer bear the iconic name. In March, McDonald's temporarily shut down operations in Russia in response to the invasion of Ukraine. The golden arches were a symbol of Western capitalism entering Soviet culture when they entered Moscow in 1990. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on Twitter at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other stories of the day on our website, WNUR.news. That's WNUR.news. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our reporters today are Justine Fisher, Maria Camaño, and Delaney Nelson. From all of us here at WNUR News, I'm Zach McCrary. Thanks for listening. Tune in this Friday for WNUR News' special broadcast, Tangential and You. During this hour-long special, we'll cover stories that are tangentially related to Northwestern staples, like a cat named Willard who co-authored a physics paper at Michigan State University. That'll be this Friday, May 20th, from 6 to 7 p.m. In the meantime, catch our next newscast this Wednesday, May 18th, at 6 p.m. Good night.